So again, as you're turning in your Bibles, first of all, to the first passage, which is going to be, in 1 John chapter 5. So if you have 1 John chapter 5, go ahead and turn there. A lot of the passages will be put up on the screen for you. But again, my goal for you is for you always to be taking a step forward in your relationship with God. And for some of you, that would be salvation. For some of you, that would be service. For some of you, that would be removing sin from your lives. And so again, as I was thinking through this series, what do we need to hear? My mind automatically went to this, that this is something that in our culture, in our society, is really tugging at our heart and really stealing a lot of our time. And Satan wants to use it to draw our hearts away from God. We're such an entertainment-driven society and culture. And I want to remind you that I am not anti-technology, okay? I'm wearing an Apple Watch, I've got an iPhone, I've got all this technology in my house. I like technology, okay? It's cool. Like I told you last week, my wife calls me a nerd because I use it all the time in my home, and sometimes it confuses people when they come into my house because I have kind of a smart home, okay? So I'm not anti-technology. I like it. But in Genesis, God told man to have dominion over the world. So part of us fulfilling that commandment is having dominion over technology, but at times, if we're really thinking about it, sometimes technology can have dominion over us, right? It rules our time. It rules our affections. It rules any spare moment that we have. It has dominion over us. And again, we live in a society where technology in itself is good. But we live under the curse, don't we? So even technology is touched by the curse of sin. And again, Satan wants to use it to pull us away from a close relationship with God. So before we start, I'd like to remind you of a couple of the things that I asked you to pray with me last week about. And some of you were honest with this, and some of you decided not to make this commitment, decided not to commit to pray about it, but some of you did. I'm going to remind you of some of those commitments that some of you made last week, that we prayed together that we would be humble enough to take responsibility for our sin. Just like David in Psalm 51, we all have to recognize that we need God's grace. We need God's mercy in this area to be able to keep it balanced in our lives. But also, he said, my sin is ever before me, and he called his transgressions mine. And so often what people will say about young people is they don't want to take responsibility for their sin. They don't want to take ownership of the wrong that they've done. So guys, please commit with me to take responsibility for your sin, if the Lord shows it to you. But also some of you committed to pray for wisdom in how you use technology. We went to 1 Corinthians 10:23, and that verse says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So, is technology wrong? No. Technology is not wrong, but it is not. It does not always build me up. It doesn't always draw my heart closer to God. And also, technology is not wrong, but it's not always what is best. Because so often we do things that are okay, but we don't chase after the things that are best for God's, that God has planned for our life. God wants what is best for your life. And lastly, some of you committed in your hearts to guard your heart with technology. There is all kinds of stuff out there. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So reminder, guys, it's not easy. Stuff is thrown at us all the time, but it is going to change your life. Out of it are the issues of life if you guard your heart. So tonight, I really want us to consider one specific way that technology may be affecting us. I've done a lot of research on this. I've read psychologists, psychiatrists, I've read counselors, and they all kind of agree on one of these things that it really affects us, and we're going to look at it from a biblical standpoint. Dr. Kathy Cook, she's a PhD, she writes about some of the needs that come up, especially with young people, in her book called Screens and Teens. And she talks about how to deal with some of these things, and this book highlights the problems that happen when we attempt to fulfill our desires or attempt to fulfill our joy in anything other than God. Anything we chase after except for God is going to fall short, and that's when problems come. So guys, I'm going to slow down here a little bit. I want you to consider tonight, if you are running to technology to meet your desire for security, are you running to technology as your hiding place, as your escape? Is that what makes you secure? And we're going to explain that a little bit. What do I mean by that? And do you run to technology instead of God to feel secure? Because guys, it will not ever satisfy you. It's quick, it's easy, it's always there, but it's not going to fulfill anything, and it will cause problems in your life. And we must understand, first of all, this: true security can only be found in God. true security can only be found in God. So what are we talking about when we're talking about security? It is guaranteed safety, whether natural or spiritual, from danger or loss. So guys, God wants to promise you, to guarantee you safety, spiritually and physically. He has some ways to do that, and He wants you to feel secure in your relationship with Him. So how can we connect to security through Jesus Christ? How can we become secure? Because so often we look for things that make us feel like we belong, that make us feel accepted. How can I anchor my security to the unchanging foundation of God's character? We sung about some of those characteristics tonight, but again, how is your sin, how is the fruit of your sin being shown in your life? Is it in the area that you find your security in technology or whatever it is? Because tonight we're going to see that you can be secure, you can have guaranteed safety by trusting God in three areas of your life. Three specific ways I'd like to point out from Scripture where you can become secure in Jesus Christ. Let's pray as we embark on this topic. Father, we come to you, and again, we ask for wisdom because we know in ourselves we cannot understand your word. We know that in ourselves we look to our own wisdom, we look to our own understanding. But Lord, I pray that tonight you would help us to be humble, take responsibility. You'd help us to be wise in how we use technology. And you'd help us to guard our hearts from the dangers that it does represent. We know that it is a good thing, but we must have dominion over it and it not over us. And Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts, that you'd soften our hearts, that you'd help us to become more like Christ through the truths of your word tonight. I pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. So you guys ever been stuck in the middle of stuck at home in the middle of a power outage? Anybody? Like, recently, that can be like really devastating, right? There's been a lot of power outages in our country, and this is probably what we're like when the power is out in our home. There's no Wi-Fi, right? Like we freak out, where's the Wi-Fi? What's going on? Or even worse, have you guys ever gone to like a relative's house who lives like really far out? And not only do they not have Wi-Fi, but like they don't have cell signal. And you're like, what is going on? I feel like I stepped back into the 1600s, right? Am I a pilgrim or something? Like, what is going on that we don't have connection to anything? And we start to get really scared. We get anxious. We're like, man, I have nothing, absolutely nothing to do. We can't think of anything. And there was a news report out of Raleigh, North Carolina. In 2014, there was this little girl. She was interviewed during a power outage. And the news anchor asked her, what has been the hardest thing about having no power? The mother was like, hey, we haven't had water being pumped into our house because we have an electrical pump. And the girl, she actually looked at the news reporter and on national TV, she said, well, we haven't had Wi-Fi. So that's been pretty tough. And she was serious. The mom looked at her like, okay, stop talking. And like, drawn the camera right back to her. But like, this is something that we can find our security in. We always have to be connected to someone or something. So why is this even a big deal? Why did you even bring these up? Because when was the last time you were that concerned whether or not you were meaningfully connected to God? When was the last time you were that anxious or nervous or freaking out because you had hindered relationship with God in your life because of sin? We freak out when we can't connect to Wi-Fi or technology, but sometimes God gets put on the back burner and He's really not what we're serving and what we're worshiping. So guys, maybe humility needs to kick in right now. Is this something that you are worshiping and make an idol of your heart? That every free second you run to that, that's where you get your comfort, where you get your encouragement, and when it's not there, you fall apart. And again, this isn't all of us, but to repeat our question we're going to talk about in the whole series, are you running to technology or anything else for your security, for that feeling of safety? So I want you to fill in this blank. I have it on your handout as well. I want you to fill in and be honest with yourself. No one else is going to look at it. I don't feel safe unless blank. Take a moment to think about it. Could you fill in that blank? I don't feel safe. I feel on edge unless. So we're not going to only talk about technology here. The principles we're going to talk about, we're going to be God-focused tonight, and how can principles about God help me to find my security in Him and Him alone? Even if it's not technology tonight, what is it? I only feel safe when. And guys, you will never have a true sense of security if you put anything other than God in that blank. And some of you may have put something about God in that blank because you knew you're in church and you were supposed to, right? But be honest with yourself. I don't feel safe unless Fill in the blank. What is it for you? What do you feel? What makes you feel secure? Because true security can only be found in God. So Dr. Cook says in this book that the need for security can be defined in this question. Who do I trust? I feel secure because I can trust my mom and dad. Because I can trust God. Because I can trust my friends. That's where I feel secure. So for you, where do you feel secure? Who can you trust? Because the first thing that you've got to realize, and that one area of your life that you have to trust God in, is you have to trust God with your eternal security. What do I mean by that? You have to trust God that when He saves you, you're eternally secure in His hand. That you cannot lose your salvation. But some of you may not even be there. Some of you may not be saved. You have to trust God for your eternal security. But have you ever started typing something into Google and it like tries to auto-complete it for you? That like really is annoying to me. I don't know why. Like it drives me nuts. And they come up with all kinds of crazy things. Sometimes they put like Easter eggs in there that are purposely funny. How about this one? Somebody typed in, if I ate myself, would I be twice as big or disappear completely? Right? Like everybody's thought about that one, right? So ridiculous things you find on Google. How about this one? Aren't you relieved to know you're not Gollum from Lord of the Rings, right? So there's all kinds of weird things that come up in autocomplete on Google. I don't know if you're laughing at another one, so I'm going to pass it on because I don't know if I read them all. All right. So there's all kinds of weird things. Why do I bring that up? Bring it back in here. Because you know what I did today? I went into Google and I knew a question that I thought might come up. And it was the actual number one hit when I typed this phrase into Google. I typed in, what happens? Do you know what the rest of the phrase it auto-completed was? Number one. What happens when I die? That's the number one thing searched for when people type, what happens? Not as funny. And so what does that do for me when I was thinking about that? We are all concerned about our future. We're all concerned about, hey, maybe right now you're like, hey, what is God going to have for me? What am I going to do for my job? What am I going to major in college? And then even more consequential, what is going to happen to me when I die? Do you have eternal security through God in that area? Because some of you may not know. Some of you may be scared and you don't feel safe about what will happen to you when you die. And some will tell you that you cannot know what's going to happen when you die. Do you know that the Bible actually says the opposite? The Bible says that you can know for sure what is going to happen to you when you die. It's on the screen, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. I wrote these things in this book, why? That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There might be some of you who don't feel safe because you're not really sure about your salvation. You're worried about it. You're struggling through it. And guys, your eternal security is rooted in forgiveness. When you think about this spiritually, you feel safe and you feel secure when you absolutely know for sure that your sins are forgiven. It's built into us that we know that we do wrong things, that we sin. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. We're going to turn there. You can turn there in your scripture. I'll put it up on the screen in a moment. But think about this. Who do you feel the most comfortable around? Who do you feel the safest with? For some of you, it would be your friends, your family, but bottom line is, you feel the safest and most secure with the people that you know really well, right? And you feel the safest and most secure with the people who know you really well. That's where you're comfortable. People you can be weird about, and they're cool, weird around, and they're cool with it, right? That's where you feel the safest, the most secure. When my wife first went with me to my family's house, she was like, whoa, you are weird when you're with your family. And I am. I'm most comfortable there. That's where I'm secure. But guys, people who know you and still love you despite you, that's where you feel secure. You can be who you really are. You can mess up and you know they're going to love you. That's where you feel secure. So remember when we studied through Psalm 139 a couple months ago? Author is writing, he says that God knows everything about you. He knows every thought you have. You can't hide anywhere on this earth that He cannot find you. He shines a spotlight on our sin, but yet come in verse 17, it says, how precious are His thoughts towards you. Oh, how great are His thoughts towards us, and how great is the sum of them. Guys, God knows everything about you, yet He still thinks precious thoughts towards you. you can feel secure in God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, I know there's a lot of scripture up here. I'm going to pause and explain as we go through it. But I need you to kind of engage with this passage. Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened." What does that mean? He brought you to life. So he's speaking to believers who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's speaking to people who were sinners, who their lives were characterized by sin, but God gave them new life in Jesus Christ. Skip down to verse 3b. "We all had our conversation, we all had our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Verse 4, one of my favorite verses in all scripture, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He made us alive with Christ. By grace are ye saved." So we can't earn salvation. We can't work for it. Skip down to verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So guys, what if I told you tonight that before the message, I kind of went around all your chairs, and this is very imaginary, okay? I drew an imaginary square, like around the legs of your chair. Made a square around you. And on that square, there was imaginary walls that went all the way up to the ceiling, okay? This is before the message even started. Now, what if I told you that I did that, and I said that if you were 100% that at no point during this message, you ever reached outside of those boundaries, you never crossed that imaginary wall, that you could come up front here and say, "Hey, I never went outside the boundaries, and I will give you a $1,000 gift card." But you have to be 100% sure. And here's what's at stake here. You can come up here, and I'll give you the $1,000 gift card, but if I prove that at one point, at any point, even once, you passed across those boundaries, you'd have to give me $1,000. Some of you are like, whoa. So like, how secure would you feel about coming up front and say, "You know what, I never crossed those boundaries"? Probably no one would come up here, right? Because we didn't know those boundaries were there. We crossed them. We went past them. And all of you, and all I would just have to prove that you went across it once. So there's a lot at stake here. But guys, our salvation, we'll come back to this illustration, tie it back in. Our salvation is not about our performance. We can't earn it. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So you don't have to be worried about, hey, if I come up there, he might know that I stepped across that boundary one time and I'll lose that $1,000 and I've got to pay him. Because sometimes we can feel very insecure in our salvation because we think we've got to earn it. We think that we've got to work our way to heaven and it's in our righteousness. You're going to feel very insecure. But you know what I can be secure about? Let's tie this illustration back in. Let's say that before the message even started, I went up to Liam Donovan. I just picked somebody randomly. And I told him about this deal that, hey, I put a square around your chair. If you don't cross it at any point in the message, I'll give you $1,000. Like, Liam probably would do a really good job of staying within those boundaries, right? Now, what if I extended that offer and said, you know what, I told Liam about that. I know without a shadow of a doubt, he never passed those boundaries. He never crossed those lines. So I'm going to give you guys a deal. Would you either come and represent yourself up front and say, I never crossed the lines, or would you rather have Liam come up and represent you? I'll still give you the $1,000. You'd be really stupid if you said, hey, I'm going to represent myself, right? Like, Liam did not cross those boundaries. He never crossed the line. And we can have confidence and we'd be secure that, hey, I'm getting that $1,000. And guys, you know what the Bible tells me? That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all crossed the boundaries that God has made for us. Here's God's glory. If you've sinned one time, if you've lied one time, you've fallen short. If you've looked at anyone with lust one time, you've fallen short of the glory of God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We have all stepped outside of those boundaries, and there is a lot at stake. We can all relate to this. We have all sinned. What's at stake? Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So if I was to call every single one of you in that illustration up and say, hey, you know what? It's now time for your judgment about whether or not you crossed that boundary. Did anyone see, let's say, Ethan Martinez cross that boundary? A lot of you would probably be like, yeah, I saw him. You wouldn't be so secure in that judgment, but you would feel secure if Liam was your representative. And guys, you know what? There's a choice you can make. You either represent yourself or Liam does. Spiritually, we've been given that same choice. God has sent Jesus Christ to be our representative who never crossed the boundaries. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He's our replacement. He's perfect. He never crossed God's boundaries. He never fell short of the glory of God that he might bring us to God. So here's the choice. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's choice one. Place your faith in him. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So guys, we can trust in ourselves or we can trust in God, because our salvation can only come through Jesus Christ alone. Your forgiveness is rooted in Christ. You can feel secure about your relationship with God and where you'll spend eternity because Christ paid the penalty for you. He is the reason that you can have forgiveness. So if you trust in Christ as your Savior, if you trust that He took your place, that He took your punishment for sins, you are promised to have everlasting life. And you can know it. Because look at what Romans 8:1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do you know why there's no condemnation to you if you believe in Christ? Because Jesus was already condemned in your place on the cross. And the choice we've been given is to believe. And we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. You can feel secure. You can feel safe about your future. So Pastor Brandon, what if I mess up again? You can be rooted in the Savior's hands. What do I mean by that? Once God has a hold of you, He's never going to let you go. John 10:28-29 says this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Guys, I'm going to do a very quick illustration. I need a volunteer to help me with this. Kind of an object lesson. How about we get Caleb Taylor? You're up in the front row. I've got some duct tape. Okay, now in this duct tape, I've written something on it that none of you can read because it's faded. It used to say, God's omnipotence. Okay, so Caleb, you come up here. Why can no man pluck us out of God's hand, according to this verse? Because my Father which gave them me is greater than all. So God is stronger, God is greater, He's all-powerful. God is omnipotent. So we're going to take this cotton ball, and Caleb, open up your hand. You're going to be an illustration of God holding us in His hand, okay? No way am I saying that you are in any way God-like, but this is the illustration, okay? So here's us. This is us. God is holding us in His hand. Now go ahead and close that as tight as you can. Let's go ahead and take God's omnipotence. And what I'm going to do, hopefully this isn't painful for you, I'm going to wrap Caleb's hand in the figurative omnipotence of God, okay? So I'm going to wrap this all nice and tight, and while I'm doing this, I'm going to need another volunteer to come up. Tell me if your blood starts, like, getting cut off, okay? So, how about Tommy Engel? You come up. Now, without, like, taking the tape and ripping it off, I want you to just open Caleb's hand. Can you just pull his fingers back? I mean, obviously, no, you can't do that. This is the picture that God has with His almighty omnipotence. Tommy, you can have a seat. There is no way He's trying. I can't just grab His fingers and pull them out. There is no man that can pluck Him out. God holds us for eternity, and there's no way that He's going to let go of us because He is all-powerful. Thank you, Caleb. You can take that off when you take a seat. Please don't distract others with it, by the way. But God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. God is going to hold us in His hand, and no man can pluck us out. You can be rooted in the Savior's hands. He is all-powerful. Nothing can pull you out. So you can have guaranteed safety for your future. Guys, trust God with your soul. Trust God for your security. You were not designed to be secure in things. You weren't. Nothing can give you security except for God. Number two, trust God with your earthly security. We're going to have to go through this a little bit more quickly. We're running out of time here, but trust God with your earthly security. Did it strike you as sad when I gave that illustration about the first thing that was typed into Google after I said, what happens? Is what happens when you die? I mean, that struck me as sad. It made me sad for those who are in the world who don't know where to turn. And in their deepest, darkest moments, the place that they turn and the place that they look for their security is Google. They look for the deepest answers of their existence by typing into Google and whipping out their cell phones and asking a computer something that's not even alive about death and about their eternity. Does that alarm you? Instead of talking to their parents, instead of talking to their friends, instead of talking to their pastors, or going to church, or most importantly, running to God's Word, what they were running to for their quick, easy fix and quick answer was the internet. Technology. A search engine. So guys, where do you automatically go for your questions about life? Do you go to Google, or do you go to the Bible? Because the Bible gives the answer to every question about life. You might be like, okay, how does it give an answer to every single question? It's an old book. The Bible tells us that it gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. I'm not going to read the whole portion of those verses, but God gives us everything that we need according to the knowledge of Jesus Christ that we need to live and that we need to live a godly life. So again, what are you running to for your security? Do you run first and foremost to God's Word? Or do you run to your technology to encourage you when you're discouraged? Do you ask all kinds of questions on the internet that really you should be asking your parents and the Bible about? Because guys, one of the things that Satan loves to use is curiosity. And if you were to read the Screwtape Letters, it's written from the standpoint of a devil who's trying to tempt people into sin. In one of those chapters, it talks about curiosity. We want to make them curious so that they look in the wrong places. Guys, do you trust in God's Word to give you the answers to all of life's questions? Because again, Dr. Cook said this in her book. Many of today's teens are secure in things being fast, perfect, and easy. So what do I take from that? And this is a believer. What I take from that is maybe that's why I don't pray. Because I don't get a quick answer. God doesn't give me what I want right away. He doesn't give it to me fast enough. I can type it into the internet and I find what I want when I want it. Has that made us impatient with even the way that God works in our lives? So how many of you are of driving age? Anybody in here? Driving age? Yeah, so there's becoming more of you. So I wasn't allowed to get a driver's license until I was 18, but I grew up in the age of the GPS, right? So what I trust for in my security when I drive is the GPS. Like, I don't go anywhere without the GPS. But sometimes you'll be going to somebody's house and you'll be like, oh, do you know how to get there? And I'll say, no, what's your address? And all of a sudden they start to go like, oh, well, there's like 5 different ways to get there. And they start to tell me like, you can go down Fall Creek Road. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then they start to tell me like all the different turn-by-turn directions. And I'm just like, just give me the address. I don't care, right? And like, we trust in our GPS, and that's where my security is. And I don't want to go through this process of having to pay attention and listen and remember. Just give me the address. And we have become very impatient that way. We want it right away, right now. We don't really want to work through anything, do we? We don't want anything to be a process. And the Bible paints a picture that sometimes it is a process. And we have to take steps in order to repair relationships. There's no undo button in life. You can't hit Control Z. You can't, whenever something goes wrong with a computer or a video game, what does everybody tell you to do? What's wrong with it? Just unplug it and plug it back in, right? And then all of a sudden it comes back up and it's magically fixed. We're like, whoa, it fixed itself. You can't do that with life. When you break relationships with people, when you sin against someone, there is a process that takes time. It is not easy to go and confess your faults to one another. But that's what the Bible tells us to do. We can't run away from it, and we want things so quick and so easy, and the Bible gives you steps to reconcile relationships. It teaches you how to forgive when you don't want to. But that's not quick. That's not easy. It teaches how to trust in God that meets all of your needs. Guys, sometimes doing what's right is not the quick and easy thing to do. We've all become very impatient. Do you run to God's Word? You will find security there. Trust God's Word. It gives you the answer to all of those issues. You may have to apply principles, but it gives you the answers. So how can you trust God to give you earthly security? By trusting that God has given you everything you need to live a godly life in His Word. But also, God provides for every need in your life. God makes that a promise to believers. That every need we're going to have, he promises to fulfill. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to lack anything. What about Hebrews 13:5? Here's another promise that God gives to us. Let your conversation be without covetousness. So what's he saying? Don't let your conversation, your lifestyle, your life be filled with covetousness that you never have enough. Because we can want more and we can want more and we're never satisfied. But he says, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God gives us promises. Do you trust that God will make you secure while you are here on this earth? Or do you trust in things for your security? As long as I can have enough in my bank account. As long as I can have the newest iPad, iPhone, whatever it is. The newest Android, if you like to have lesser devices, it's an Android, okay? Apple is where it's at. So you like want to trust all of your stuff for your security. The Bible tells us over and over again, rich man, do not trust in your riches. And he says, don't be covetousness. Why? Because God promises he will never leave you nor forsake you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. We can apply this to a lot of things, but do you find yourself being covetous? That you're never satisfied. You always want the next thing. And then as soon as you get that next thing, then you think, you know what? Then I'll be happy. Then I'll be secure. Then I'll feel safe. Then I'll have enough in my saving account. Because guys, God provides. Take refuge and security in his provision. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our strength, our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So when you don't feel safe, when you don't feel secure, don't run to stuff. Run to God's word and run to the promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Last thing tonight, in conclusion, we've got to trust God with our emotional security. Our eternal security, our earthly security, and also our emotional security. What are you even talking about, Pastor Brandon? I mean, my emotional security. So often, security is not found in the quantity, but the quality of your relationships. Okay, I'm going to say it this way and use it in kind of a tech illustration. Have you ever looked at someone's account on social media? And you're just like, man, their life is awesome. You're like, they're always in Hawaii. They're always where it's sunny. I mean, they always look happy. Everything looks great. And I mean, look at how many likes they get on their posts. 2,139. I don't even know that many people, right? Like, we can think that as we look at people's social media's account. And then we start to think, you know what? My life stinks. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes what I'm posting. But guys, did you know that there's actually apps out there where you can pay for people to go on your Instagram and Snapchat and like or comment it? There's a job out there where they receive requests to follow someone, and then they go on there and post on it or like it so that it looks like there's more likes on it. And people actually look for their security enough in it to spend money on this. And that is like the easiest gig in the world, right? Like, easiest job ever. I would just sit on Instagram, yeah, like, whatever. You get money for that. And I mean, it is pretty easy to sit there and to touch a screen. But then sometimes we can think, when someone likes all of our posts, you know what? Wow, they really care. They liked 3 of my photos today. They're like taking big interest in my life. Or then you think, you know what? This person is taking way too much interest in my life. They've liked every photo I've posted for 4 years, like today. Like, that just gets creepy, right? And we start to feel insecure at that moment. But we can find security in like how much likes we get, how much attention we get by all the things we post. And we all find security in the fact that someone cares about us. One of our basic needs is to feel loved, isn't it? To feel liked. We all want that. We all desire that. So how can I trust God for my emotional security? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're safe. We're secure. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Did you guys, we don't have much time, but did you guys get the idea of that? Nothing can separate you from God's love. Even if you're going through all kinds of trials, hardships, you got to think back to, I have eternal security. God promises to meet all of my needs. Even when it's tough, you can go back to the fact that God loves you. Even when you feel like no one else does, do you find your emotional security in Jesus Christ? Because it's easy to touch the like button on a screen. It's a lot more difficult to sacrifice for others. So guys, take your security in the fact that Jesus Christ died in your place. He took the punishment that you deserve. You can know that you can live with God forever. Nothing's going to separate you from His love. So guys, for those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Do you guys get that? Do you know what it means to be condemned? It means you're like condemned to prison, condemned to death. Guys, you cannot be condemned because Jesus was condemned in your place. Take security in that. Are you running to technology for security rather than God? Because true security can only be found through God, through Jesus Christ. Technology is not wrong, but it does not always build me up. It's not wrong, but it's not always what's best. Do you need to commit tonight to take time that you are spending with technology and entertainment and devote it to God? Because all of that is always changing. God is unchanging. And can technology be used in good ways? Yes. It's not all bad. You can use all kinds of great spiritual tools to strengthen you and help you grow spiritually. Commit to doing that. Commit to your relationship with God being first and foremost. Because technology is tools. Those digital tools cannot be the source of your security. You can have eternal security, security while you're on this earth, and you can be comforted emotionally through God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is gracious, that when we have failed you and we have sinned against you, that you have not demanded that we pay for it on our own. We have crossed boundaries, we have fallen short of your glory, and there is consequences for that. We do have to face the judgment. But Lord, we're thankful that through Jesus Christ, if we believe in him, we do not have to face it on our own. He became sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Lord, I pray that there's someone here that tonight is worried about their eternal security, that does not know what will happen when they die. That they would be bold and willing to come and find out from a youth staff worker. We'd love to show someone from God's word how they can know for sure that Jesus Christ is their Savior tonight. But Lord, for the believers that are here, I pray that you'd help us not to be covetous. You'd help us not to be idolatrous in how we use technology. You'd help us to use it with wisdom, that we would not look to it for our security, but Lord, that we would look to you, who is unchanging, who is our rock, you are our refuge, and you are our fortress. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I did give the gospel tonight. You can know for sure that you'll spend eternity in heaven. And tonight, I just want to make sure that I give the opportunity to respond to that. If you are here, no one look around. Be respectful of those around you. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to call you out. But if that's something that you're not sure about, you're worried about it, you don't have confidence that you'll be safe when you die, go ahead and stand up now. I encourage you to go to the back. We'd love to show you from God's word how tonight, from God's word, you can know that when you die, you go to heaven. If you'd like someone to go to walk with you, go ahead and head back there. We'll get someone to connect with you. Jessica, if you could help me out with that. But believers, if you are here and you've realized that you have run to things other than God, I'll give you a minute to confess that and forsake that and commit to God that you want to run to him and to him alone.